This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. Welcome to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken has the day off this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm doing all right.
I am well, thank you. How are you guys?
I'm doing well, thank you very much.
I know that's the three of us that are here, but I have to look around the table as I say your names, and then I get the order right and everything. Did you like the way that worked?
Well, there's a lot of people in here, and I can understand, you know, you. Forgetting somebody as you go across.
Thank you. Did you notice the glow in the eastern sky this morning?
Because it was kind of bright out or getting light?
Yes. If anybody wants to see that this week.
Today was your last day.
Today's the day. You got to get up and do it right now, right?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a little darker tomorrow morning at the same time.
Why is that?
Because we're springing forward tonight. We're shifting our clocks.
Which is good and bad, right?
It is. I think it's good because then we have that extra hour in the evening to do things, get that yard going. The downside in the beginning is the morning is, you know, a little bit darker for a while.
I've enjoyed it just these last couple of weeks, having an extra half an hour to an hour of light at the end of
Absolutely.
The day.
Absolutely.
And now we're going to have more.
So at 2 a.m. this morning, we spring forward 1 hour.
It's going to be tomorrow morning, right? I mean, as a point of fact.
But tonight, so yes, this morning is already over. 2 a.m. doesn't exist anymore on this morning. Okay. So therefore.
Yeah.
If then, therefore.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the clear, beautiful, not cold morning this morning?
I did. I like the not cold.
Yeah, me too. Marky?
Yeah. When I went outside, it was I can feel moisture on my face, and then, I mean, it wasn't.
I didn't mean to spit.
Chilly.
That was just my lip.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
It's all good.
But it was moist out. It was nice.
It was nice.
Going back to what you said about, you know, enjoying the last several weeks, the opportunity to get out and do things when you get home after work has been wonderful.
I agree.
We walked the yard last night after work, and you know, looked at what's blooming and such. It's nice.
I really enjoyed it. I went and reset my
sprinklers.
Gopher hawks.
And when I went down to lock up the chickens last night, I had a yellow band.
It's nice to see those yellow bands. Yes.
And it's nice to have, when you remove the gopher hawk from the hole, there be something in there.
Right, not just soil.
Yes.
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 I agreed.
It was a good day. Did you harvest anything as you were wandering the yard last evening?
Interestingly, the only thing we harvest is a lemon, I think, because we only needed one, and parsley for a dinner dish we were making last night.
Oh, did you harvest any sweet lemons for cooking?
Sweet limes for cooking.
No,
we did not last night.
You didn't?
It wasn't part of my recipe last evening.
Uh-huh. Was it part of any recipe last...
Why are you bringing that up?
Well, before we get into why, was it a recipe last week?
It was in sparkling water last week. So, yes, I used it last week for drinks, but not for...
Okay. Was it in a recipe this year so far?
Where are you going with this? Just out of curiosity. This year's only in March, so we have plenty of time to get to it.
Did you use it in a recipe last year?
I think I did. I used it in a rice dish last year.
Once?
Yeah, maybe once. Yeah.
Okay. Where we're going with this is I have heard it told, not to speak out of school about your yard and life, that you have only limited space for trees, although I would dispute that.
We don't have limited space. We may be limited water. We don't have limited space.
And that you are wasting some of that water and space on a sweet lime that you don't use. And you say that you used it for some water. But could you not have used a regular lemon or lime for that?
I probably could have, yeah.
And the reason that's coming up is we'll talk about more later, is there's some pretty cool trees that have come in recently.
Absolutely.
That we are not going to talk about right this moment.
No, we're not.
And supposedly in your home, some people would like to put a new tree in.
Some people would, yes.
Okay. Is that clear?
I think it's a good starting point for a discussion we can carry on with later. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Do we have any classes coming? Oh, wait. Before we do that, Mark, do you have any more of your Algerian tangerines that I have not yet seen ripening?
Yeah, I do.
Excellent. You are consuming them, and your friends conceivably are consuming them?
Yes.
Okay. Except for me.
Well, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Maybe if you ever swung by his house, he'd give you one.
Yeah, ever. If I ever get into the hood.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do we have any classes? I wanted to take a shot. I took a shot at you.
And speaking of, there are some citrus for us to taste here later.
That's Trovita.
But yes. Okay. So today, March 9th in San Diego at 9 a.m., it's Organic Gardening with James. And in Poway at 9:30, Grafting Fruit Trees with Tyler Trimble.
Excellent.
Next week, the 16th, it's in San Diego, Herbs with Kathleen, and in Poway, Healthy Soil, Healthy Plants in Organic Soil with Randy Ritchie from Malibu Compost. Oh,
we better hurry up and decide which one of those pallets we're going to get in.
That's right.
We're running
out of
time.
And just an administrative note here, our website has not been functioning properly for the classes. So if you go to our website and click on that link, you may not see the classes till next week. So,
and contrary to what would be popular belief or what you would expect, it's not because of David.
It's not because of David or any of us. We don't have control. Anyway, it is broken, so we're working to get that fixed so you can look at the classes online more easily.
Soon. Okay.
That was an editorial
going on at Balboa Park?
In Balboa Park. There is something going
on. You said Cactus Society, right?
There is a Cactus Society today. It's San Diego Cactus and Succulent Society meeting, show, and sale at 8 a.m. until 5 in room 101 at
Casa del Prado in Balboa Park.
Prado. Correct.
And I wonder,
that's the big one going on there today.
We're wondering aloud if Dean was going to be there.
I was wondering. I think he may. And that's the only big sale. Other than that, they're just some meetings.
We have a few of the bare root fruit trees still left over that have not been potted yet that need to be planted.
We've, in Poway anyway, we've reduced our bins that we've had out there by 7 just this week alone.
And this will be the last weekend. If you want to get any bare root trees at Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway, this is your last weekend, because Monday they're coming off the floor and they're going to be replaced with tables for the perennials.
For a lot of pollinating plants, which we'll talk to maybe later.
Oh, we are going to talk about that later?
I think we'll touch on that.
Okay.
We have a lot. We do have a pretty good variety selection still available. However, we are out of quite a number of bare root fruit trees.
I last week took home and changed my tune on vegetables.
Okay.
Remember that discussion?
That's right. You brought tomatoes home.
Did you get them in the ground? They are still alive. I want everyone to know they are not in the. They're on the ground.
Well, that's a good place for them. I would imagine.
They're not in the ground yet. Yes. I will do that this weekend.
Okay. Our garden is a little overrun with weeds, and while we walked past it, we saw at least 3 big heads of cabbage that are ready to be picked. So
they were surrounded by weeds?
There are weeds all around it, yeah. We've been, with all the rain, we just haven't been out in the garden as much, so.
I started with my mower last weekend, and I'm making headway against the weeds, but there's still a lot more to go. I filled three greens recycling cans with it.
Yeah, you know our front yard, which is where all the fruit trees are and flowers and roses and such. It's beautiful right now. It's green as can be. It's gorgeous, but it's all domesticated weeds.
Yeah,
and so we run a riding lawnmower and cut that, you know, every week or so, and it looks great until about May, and then it becomes just this big brown.
Over, yeah.
But it looks great right now.
Mine too. The green weeds look great. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
And they probably are producing some flowers and nectar for some pollinators.
They are producing flowers. They are attracting bees, and they are producing those little swords. Ooh. What do we call them? Oh. It's a something sanguinea, right?
Not the goat's head one, right?
No, not the goat's head one. The one that produces that they go into a corkscrew
or
a spiral, not a corkscrew.
Yeah, so they're producing seeds for next year, so you can continue to have a beautifully domesticated weed lawn.
And that is why I am collecting those greens and putting them in the recycling, so that
I'm trying to keep it cut before they go to before they go to seed.
They're seeding. Well, they're seeding now. At least Spring Valley, they're seeding.
We just cut ours last week and
kept
them shorter.
A little hoity-toityer than we are now.
Well, to that, What do you have blooming right now in the big scheme of things in the yard?
The trees are starting to look great, and I've been noticing during the warmer periods, and last weekend when it was sunny, the bees were out, and so I'm sure the bees were out yesterday, but they weren't by the time I got home.
We were chuckling as we walked past a Summer Delight aprium. It's a pretty good sized tree, and there were two flowers like on the opposite sides of the tree, and just looked a little bit out of place. Someone went out and stuck them on there. Like, oh, look.
They're just starting.
Yeah, they're just starting.
The Saturn peach is blooming. Gorgeous flower. My spicy nectar plum.
Gorgeous right now. Ours as well. Yeah.
But I have another one that is probably 30 feet away, and it is in a shadier location, and it is just starting to bloom. The buds are just starting to show color. And the other one is in full bloom, but it's in full sun.
Gets more heat.
It is interesting. I if you look on your camera at pictures from this time last year, I have some of our fruit trees are covered in bees, flowers and bees. Go out there today, those very same trees aren't even open right now.
Well, I think last year about this time I was complaining that I had flowers and no bees.
Especially on your plums, I brought you some cuttings of my plum trees that were flowering to pollinate something that was pollinating. Yeah.
Is your elephant heart plum blooming yet? Because mine is showing no signs of buds.
It's just getting ready. It's got some big swell.
Okay. Yeah. That hasn't happened yet. But the apriums are blooming. The pluots are blooming. My green gauge plum is just starting to show color, but it's in the shade of a bigger tree.
Mine's in a container waiting to go in the ground today.
A little bit later. Yes. But the other ones, and the grevilleas are still blooming and attracting the bees. They're just mocking me.
I think I may get Capri more on board with some grevilleas because she came to the nursery yesterday and we walked around a little and she saw a couple that were just in full bloom and spectacular.
Maybe you could take a sweet lime out and put a grevillea in its place.
It would die. There's so much phosphorus in that area.
If you get the grafted one, then you won't have to worry about that. Are any of your trees blooming, Mark? I know they're fruiting. Oh, well, I've heard told. No. But are they... Are any of your other trees blooming?
No.
Do you have a peach tree back in that corner?
Well, I used to.
Used to?
Oh, yeah.
The Dave Ross method?
It's not going to flower.
Oh.
Or fruit.
Yeah. Is it going to produce any leaves this year?
Probably not.
I've brought in another one to my way of gardening.
Yeah.
You know what? It's an old tree, and it was probably past its time, and
correct.
You probably just
We need to move on. Yeah.
It's the tree's fault, Mark. It's not yours. Don't take it personal.
It sounds like
there are some nurseries in town. We still you can come by Poway and pick up a fruit tree to replace it with.
That's true. I will.
You would like to give us a call. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-344-1170. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Welcome back to Garden Talk here on KPCRQC, KCBQ, and KPRZ.
That was easy for you.
That wasn't David, and we are not David, Mark, and George.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are.
Those mistakes are made.
Yep.
Wow, that was easy, wasn't it? That was an alphabet soup of letters. We could make another joke there, but we shan't, shall we?
No.
We'll walk the line. In the first segment, we were talking about George having a lime tree that he doesn't like and that nobody on his property likes.
No, back up. George likes the tree.
Okay, let me rephrase. That George doesn't really like or... George doesn't use the fruit from the tree.
As much as he should.
Because he likes it so much.
Right. No.
You save it because it's a treasure and you don't want to use it.
Pieces of it. So here's the best part of this story. So... We have that sweet lime tree. It was actually given to me by, I don't know if you know David Ross from Walter Anderson Nursery. It was a tree that was dying, gave it to me, and it's thriving. It's spectacular. And we don't use it as much as we should, obviously. But yesterday, my wife swung by the nursery, and we were looking at all this gorgeous citrus that came in. And she said, oh, we could take out that sweet lime and put something else in, which I don't necessarily want to do. But the fun part, David, is I got home, and she said, you know what this reminds me of? That song, War, What Is It Good For? Sweet Lime. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
There you go.
Yeah.
So she was on that piece of it because she doesn't think we need it. So I told her what I may do is cut it back a bit and then get some certified clean, healthy budwood and graft some other varieties on it and still have some sweet limes available because I have a very healthy tree right there.
That's a very good idea.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, you're thinking that that's just to delay
the inevitable?
No, it's until it gets forgotten. So that then you could just say, I'm going to do this so that you don't have to do this.
And do
then
I nothing speak that happen. Way with the...
No, he doesn't.
Okay, thank
no, you.
You
don't. But anyway, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I see right through you, George Allman.
Yeah.
Your wife may not, but I
You're supposed to say, I support this. This is a great idea. You can graph a number of different varieties on there.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, and we have a grafting class today. I could even learn some more.
Exactly.
Okay. If all that happens, then okay. However, we got in 2 pallets of gorgeous sleeve citrus yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Most of it's specialty stuff that you won't find every day. And maybe you ought to take that thing that you don't particularly like that you could use as a grafting stock down the line somewhere and replace it with something useful.
Well, here's the thing. We have 2 acres.
I know that, but so if you're going to use the lime as an excuse...
I have a spot we can put another one. But there's only one more I think I want to get.
What's that?
That blood orange, the vanilla.
Vaniglia sanguino?
That one.
I saw on the packing list that it said Vaniglia sanguinelli, and
that's
I think it was
correct.
An error. It is sanguinelli. Okay.
That's not correct.
Right. It's the vanilla blood. And,
okay.
We have three other blood oranges, so I thought it would be a nice addition.
It is. And it's an acidless blood orange. And I am not an acidless citrus person. I'm not an acidless fruit person. I want some bite in my fruit. But I got this for someone else. And they're not around anymore, but the tree still is. And I've tried the fruit. I would have never purchased this tree for myself, ever. And it was really good. It is acidless. There's no bite to it, but the flavors are... I don't remember what they were, but they
you just
were just
know that you
good
liked it,
and
right.
neat, and I enjoyed it. And I think I brought some pieces of it to one of the tastings a few years ago. I haven't taken good care of the tree. It's far away. It's like your peach tree market's out of reach. So it hasn't been cared for, but the vanilla blood, we have a few, and it is something we haven't had... since Monterey Bay Nursery stopped selling citrus, which was probably 10 years ago.
At least.
It's been a while.
And it's an interesting and worthwhile piece of fruit. Plus, they had we got some bergamots.
Which you're going to get personally because why?
It's good for your cholesterol, blood, all this other stuff, and you take it for a month.
But you don't eat the fruit.
No, you take the rind or the oils out of it. So what I told George, he's like, why are you going to get that? And I said, because I'm going to get one. I'm going to peel one piece of fruit.
That's what you're going to do,
I'm going to eat one piece of skin off of that piece of fruit. And then the next time I get labs done, they're going to be no different. And I'm going to say it didn't work.
Exactly.
I'm going to do it one time. But there was a whole host of other things.
Yeah.
There was some lime.
That's what's used in Earl Grey teas to make them unique in those that say bergamot on the tea.
And does it say that it's supposed to be good for you in the Earl Grey
teas? Not that I'm aware of.
Or no? Not that you're aware of.
Not that I'm aware
but
of.
But there were some other things in there. We got some mandarin quats and some lime quats.
I will tell you that they're in sleeves, so they're smaller. The pots are smaller, and so the roots are smaller, but those are spectacular trees. They're beautiful. The leaves are gorgeous. There's no signs of insect damage. Some of them are just about ready to explode with flowers. Some of them have fruit on them already, and they look like an expensive 5-gallon container, a 15 in some cases.
They're greenhouse grown. They're inside grown to protect them, and they're gorgeous. And if they go out into the sun right now, which they will, they're probably going to have a little bit of
burn on the
leaves from the sun because we're going to have a warm week. But the trees are going to do fine, and they're putting out new growth, which will acclimate to the sun immediately. But there's a lot of different things, including you know what? There's some Palestine sweet limes on that order. So if there's anybody who wants a tree like George doesn't, or Capri doesn't, then you can get that. We got some Miwa kumquats. We got in some of the Lee by Nova, which was USDA 88-6, right? Isn't that also Lee Nova?
It sounds familiar from our...
I have one of those, and we were told they're really, really good.
Right.
Bream, some of the Bream Tarocco Bloods, which is supposed to be the best Tarocco Blood orange.
I have a Tarocco, but not a Bream.
We got in a few Valentines. The Sudachi, I think that's a lemon, isn't it? Sudachi lemon. And I'm going to... We got a Gillette Naval Orange, a Spring Naval Orange, a Cutter Valencia. I'm going to get a Cutter Valencia. I need a... Well, actually, I don't really need a Valencia.
The need,
because I have
need.
My... I have my Jincheng, but and there's others. There's many others. We got in some.
It's exciting, and anyone that's listening today that wants that, we may see a run on those today.
And we got some seedless Eureka type lemons in Limonetto Fino, the Lisbon lemon, and we got in some Iwasaki Satsumas. Do you know what's best or special about the Iwasaki Satsuma?
I do not. What is
it? It's a little earlier than the one we already have. It's the Owari is a month or so later. So this is going to ripen earlier in October than the Owaris that we normally have.
My Satsumas are typically in December and beyond.
So this is a little bit going to be earlier for that. And there's limited numbers. They're in Poway only. And... as of yesterday when I left, they were not out on the floor.
They weren't.
But they were pricing them, and if you get there ahead of them being out on the floor, just ask them. We'll take you to our citrus
treasure
leaders.
Trove.
Yes. And quite a few of the Vaniglia Sanguinos are spoken for. And I have a choice. I either get a new one and plant it where I'm going to take care of it, or I start taking care of the one that I planted.
I would just take care of the one.
I agree with Mark. If you have it, that means it's established. You go out there, start feeding it, spray it, prune it back a little, clean it up.
And I have a Bream Tarocco up there, a Dancy. I have all sorts. I should turn the water back on up there, shouldn't I?
Not yet, no.
No, but when
not
the
today.
Time comes.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. That was easy.
That doesn't mean you're going to do that, but...
I know. It's easy. This is another song. Easier.
Easier said than done.
Who is that? Okay.
Can't remember her name.
Brendan will find that out for us. Yeah. We did order Trovino oranges. That's the one I talked to you guys about that I have that's ripening right now. It's kind of a Valencia navel-ish, and it has excellent albedo.
Which is why you asked me to bring this in.
Yes, because I think...
This is healthy.
That it's healthy.
Healthier than a regular orange.
Well, it has better albedo, which normal people would call pith.
Right.
But when I said pith to the people at the citrus show last year, they said, what do you mean pith?
So the white
albedo,
stuff right
is
here.
That what you're talking about?
Well, you know, 96% of those folks were all PhDs, so, you know, you were talking, they had no idea what you were saying.
Yeah,
you were a little below them. Yes,
quite a bit actually, and it was quite apparent. But now we know it's albedo, and that's also the thing around the moon per Ken, right? The white aura.
Yeah.
And different varieties of citrus have varying amounts of pith, and definitely different flavors. Some are real oily, and they will cause
very bitter.
Valencia oranges. If I eat the albedo off of Valencia oranges, my lips will tingle for. I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes after. And lemon and grapefruit and that stuff has icky albedo. And most of the mandarins have very little. But this Trovita orange, which we didn't get, they zeroed on our order. And the Jincheng, which we did not get, have very good albedo. And I'm sure that it makes up for the
rest of your eating habits?
Sugar substitutes in my diet sodas that you have taken.
So this is balancing it.
Yes, okay. So maybe I can have it again.
Yeah, there you go.
No?
I don't think so.
Did you, we had another citrus show up at UCR this week,
correct? We did, and we went up there on Thursday. I have a lot of notes, but they're sitting on the desk in the office, so I think I'll bring those as a conversation next week. It'll give me a chance to go through them because they gave us tons of paper. It was a different format than last year. But what was interesting is there was very little discussion about HLB per se, but there was discussion about the continuation of the hybridizing to get more disease resistant.
And you said you had a really good mandarin.
We had a really good mandarin. Now, last year when we went, we had the opportunity to sample a number of juices that were made from crossbreeding.
I know. They took the enamel right off my
teeth. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was lemon. Those were, they were different. So this year they have some beyond that where they've taken, that and that what we ate last year. And they've crossbred it in a couple more generations. And we actually had fruit. They only had one variety. It was 305. I don't know what the name of that is or what the parents were. But 305. And they cut it up for us. And it's a mandarin. And it was actually very good. And I made a comment to the PhD candidate that was standing behind there. And I said, this is so much better than what you offered us last year. And she said, is it good? I said, it really is. She goes, is it good enough that you'd offer it to your grandmother? And I said, oh, absolutely. If this was growing on my tree, I would offer it to a neighbor without hesitation.
You don't like your neighbors.
But she had a really big smile, so she was happy that we said that.
Yes, good.
It was good.
Yeah. And this was the same person who was dealing with the lemons last
year? The doctor there that was talking to me about it, she showed me a graph and all of they actually have the genome of the citrus with where the genes are that they're looking for, targeting for disease resistance. She was there, but the girl that actually offered us the thing was one of the PhD candidates that works for her.
I'm going to have more questions for you about that, okay?
I'll be here.
But before that, you are listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. Fran, if I had looked over my shoulder, I would have seen you were waiting there. I apologize. We will take a break and get to you when we come back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Had I been paying attention before, we could have talked to Fran before the break, but let's talk to Fran now. Good morning, Fran.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I have a question, but before I go into my question, I want to tell everybody about the class that they missed last Saturday with Farmer Roy. I mean, what a class. It was full of information. He knows all about tomatoes, and we were just, I mean, the class lasted a lot longer than it normally does because of just the interest and all the knowledge that he had to give us. So if you missed it, you're going to have to wait for next year, but it's worth coming to his class. It's a great, great class. Now, my question. First of all, don't tell Lisa that because you were supposed to have pruned back our roses by February the 14th. Well, I haven't done that yet. But my question is on the orange tree. What do I spray it? Is it with the spinosad? Because they're not blooming or anything yet. So do I spray that now, like in the evening?
You would be spraying with horticultural oil this time of year. And that will help take care of almost every insect pest you might have on there.
Except
the leaf miner when it's in the leaf. And when you mentioned the spinosad, that's something we'd start spraying in mid-May to late May when the moth becomes active and starts laying eggs.
Okay, so that's what I have to, I'll put that down in my calendar, yeah. And I'm coming to the class today, even if you don't want me there, I'll be there.
Bring your grafting tools.
We want you there, Fran. We want you. Thank you for the very, very kind words. I heard Roy was really on his game last week.
I've listened to him many, many times, and I agree. I think that was one of his best presentations ever.
Excellent.
Not that he does bad ever before. All of them are good.
But this was just like, betterer.
This was just more betterer.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Fran.
You're welcome.
We'll see you in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I had a customer come in a couple of days ago that was following our admonishment to spray with oil. And he was finally driving down from, he I think lived in North County from far away to come get his horticultural oil. Hopefully more and more people will be spraying with horticultural oil, as we say, whether they think they have a problem or not.
Right.
They
hopefully so.
Spray,
I have so much new growth on all my citrus right now, and I check it every time I walk past it looking for both Asian citrus psyllids and for leaf miner. No leaf miner, no Asian citrus psyllids. But I did have some citrus psyllids. I think it was around winter. Didn't I tell you guys I had some?
I think so. Adams has been having them in Ramona. He's been having a lot of them.
I haven't seen any since. Before we went into the break and before we ignored Fran's call, George was talking about what I called that citrus thing, thinking you people out there would probably all know
remember
what
from
that
last year,
citrus
right?
thing was. It was the most exciting day in much of my life last year.
More exciting than the Super Bowl for David.
It was.
Oh, it's far better than a Super Bowl. Oh, my gosh, yes.
And
so it's called Citrus Days, and it's put on by the University of California at Riverside. And why Riverside? Why not UCLA or UCSD?
I would suggest it's probably because of all the citrus there and because of the original Washington Naval tree there. And isn't a big part of that campus a citrus bequeathment or something?
I don't know if it's a bequeathment. Maybe Kevin can answer that since he went there. But it is the wealth of knowledge for the state of California with everything citrus. I mean, that's where all the research is being done. There are PhDs after PhDs working on citrus cures, diseases, trying to prevent diseases. They're looking. They've actually gotten into the biome that's on a citrus tree, and they're taking all that and trying to, it's fascinating.
Is that like the biome that follows me around only for citrus?
Like, that's Linus.
That's different.
No, it's not Linus, Pigpen. That's like Pigpen. No.
Yes, okay.
But, you know, everything has a biome on it. You know, we have stuff in our gut, and whether it's a virus or a bacteria or fungi, plants have that as well. And they're doing a lot of research up there and pulling that off and reproducing it on an individual basis to see whether it's good or bad and what it does for the plant. But all that to say is Riverside is the everything you need to know for citrus. And they have a massive citrus collection. And what has been very informative and interesting about this is getting the opportunity to actually taste and walk around and see all these different types of trees. And last year when we went, it was a little bit different because we had to leave earlier this year. But when David and I and Brian walked, we ate so much citrus. In the beginning, the people that were curating, they had a pocket knife or a knife, and they were cutting pieces and handing us each a piece. And I said, I have a pocket knife. Can I cut my own? And she's like, oh, yeah.
Sure.
So David and I and Brian kind of just slipped off and just started eating to the point where if you handed me a sliver of orange, I couldn't have eaten it by the time we were ready to leave last year.
Yeah.
I was stuffed with citrus. And my vitamin C content was peaked.
Yeah, and I had no enamel on my teeth after the tasting. But if you are ever looking for citrus information and varietal information, it's the Givaudan, G-I-V-A-U-D-A-N. How do you pronounce Givaudan?
I think that'll work.
Citrus Variety Collection at UCR. And they have information on hundreds of different varieties of citrus, some that we just mentioned and many that we've never heard of. But that's where I go when I'm looking for information. There's growers' notes and taste notes and things like that on all the different varieties. And that was what we were reading from about the,
vanilla blood, right.
And they called it awful.
They disliked it a great deal.
But there was other information
out
there.
Monterey Bay, I think, was one of them that said, no, it's fantastic. Now, here's the best part about that, what we just mentioned. They get budwood from everywhere, and then they culture it, and they grow it disease-free. So you can reach out to them and get certified. I mean, you have to pay for it, but they have certified budwood available for tons of varieties of citrus. Now, tons is a lot, so but a lot of citrus. You can go on their website and look for budwood. You have to register and all that, but you can get budwood. So when I'm ready to do my
my
sweet lime that we're going to reduce a little bit.
My sweet lime. You are my sweet lime.
We might have to go with some of that budwood from up there. And it's disease free.
Or you could get one of the 30 different varieties of things that you don't normally have access to.
That's true.
But
you know, cutting it and propagating is how we got to some of these diseases now. So getting certified disease free.
No, I'm talking about buying the certified disease free trees,
and just
George.
Plant them. And put excess trees. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
Are you going to supplement my water bill?
No.
Oh, then
you're
then,
a big boy. Mulch more. Don't start with. Okay, hang on. If you are looking for information, if you want to geek out on citrus, Google UCR Citrus Collection, and the information there is tremendous. Even though their tasting notes on the vanilla blood orange are completely wrong,
because
taste is objective; it's not subjective, right?
In matters of taste, there can be no dispute.
So,
right?
Did you get to taste? We didn't get to do the field study this time.
They had like eight or nine varieties of different things that we had the opportunity to taste, and some of them were the things that we had last year, and they're all good. So, okay, yeah. You just mentioned if you want to geek out, I want to offer two other pages that offer really well. Monterey Bay Nursery citrus pages are incredible. So you can Google that. They have a lot more kind of a running narrative about the different types of trees, how they grow, how the flavors are, and everything like that. So it's very useful. And some of the parentage.
Before you go beyond that, Monterey Bay was the source for all of the specialty trees that I have at home currently. That I've been talking about, the vanilla blood, the Jinchang, the Trovita orange, some of the pomelos, they all came because at that time, the owners or the growers of at Monterey Bay were geeked out on citrus, and so they were growing it, and they were doing a real nice job of varieties that we couldn't get elsewhere. But because of the restrictions and constraints, they're not growing citrus anymore.
Right.
But that page is still up with fantastic information on care and culture, and the varieties.
What I find interesting is some of the parentage and how they break things down. It's fascinating. And then another great page is called Citrus Pages. It's that simple. Citrus Pages. It's actually out of France, but they have 50 different languages. If you click on it or Google it, you'll come up and you can look pomelos, kumquats, lemons, limes, sweet oranges, blood oranges, everything. Even trifolates. You can look up and learn a little bit
the
about
the
different
rootstocks.
Yeah. So it's fascinating. So there's a lot out there to help feed your inner geek if it comes to citrus.
Mm-hmm. The citrus pages.
It's just not even the citrus pages. No the in front of it.
That's too many rules. I don't think I'm going to be able to work with that.
Sorry.
Mark, are you going to get any more citrus? Are you going to plant any more trees?
I want to plant, those mandarin quats or lime quats.
Indio mandarin quat. The lime quat, I'm glad you mentioned that. You don't have to get a lime quat because you can get the actual lime. But you know what you get, what the benefit of a lime quat is?
What's that?
You get the flavor of a lime and the cold hardiness of a kumquat.
That's true.
I bet, are in a frost-free area. But you can still get the lime quat.
No, I hear you.
But for people who live in cooler areas where some of the lemons and limes might freeze during cold periods, that's what the lime quat is for.
Yeah.
Neither of you seem... Well, you seem to care, Mark. George doesn't seem to care.
Well, I know. Kurt Peacock told me that years ago. Get the lime quat.
The lime quat?
Yeah.
I know what to get Mark for. St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Right?
That is true.
It is.
1 week from tomorrow.
Yep.
Are you going to go to the parade?
Hopefully.
Okay. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I got you.
But you know what? I got you covered.
I got you. Do you have to keep it alive, Mark?
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the big question for you. Do you want me to get a pot and put it into a 5 or something gallon pot, or do you want me to bring it to you in the sleeve knowing that you will get it planted in the ground within the following 7 days?
I will take it in the sleeve, and I will plan in the next 7 days.
Okay, and I'm going to put you on the spot.
Very good.
Okay.
Love it.
If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. We forgot to talk about the weather forecast at the top of the hour, so I wanted to read just a couple of sentences from yesterday afternoon's weather forecast. It was the 1:40 p.m. weather forecast, and it's talking about kind of unsettled, unknown weather coming up this week. And here's the last sentence. The ultimate position of where the low goes will have impacts on the high temperature forecast, wind forecast, and precipitation forecast.
So what's going to happen, David?
I totally agree with that. Yeah. And I am, you know, not a weather forecaster, but depending on where the weather goes, that's going to affect the weather.
That's what's going to happen. So, yes.
But thank you for that.
I totally agree with that.
Should I turn my sprinklers on or should I not spray today?
What's going on? I'd leave them off. I would spray if you need to spray. If you do want to spray something that is going to adversely affect bees or pollinators, probably now is getting to be the time to do it, because soon the plants are going to be in full bloom.
What if it rains tonight based on your information?
No. This is for middle of the week.
Oh, so we're fine.
Today we're going to be fine.
Okay.
This is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm good. Depending on where the low goes will affect the weather.
Got it.
Okay, now, Air Bud, which is a golden retriever, right?
Right, but not the same as Bud Wood.
Okay, so what is Bud? Is that related to Wood? What's the guy's name? He's an actor. Something Wood. Yes.
Robert Wood. No, it's his name.
Okay. James
Wood.
Yes.
Okay, what about him?
No. Not that's not
no that's okay. still not
okay
him.
We Bud were Wood. Talking about Bud
well we
Wood.
Were throwing Bud Wood out very haphazardly, like
cavalierly,
like everybody knows what it is, and I would assume the three of us know what it is, and a lot of our listeners do, but some don't. So when I say Bud Wood to you, Mark, what do you think?
What's that?
When I say Bud Wood, what are it's you thinking of?
Wood that you're going to put onto on your tree. It's fruiting wood.
For grafting,
right. Yes.
Same
for budding.
Yeah. So you can budding. Yeah. You can take. It's normally just strong shoots that have buds on it that are about to break at some point, and you can graft with them.
And you can do with citrus and many other things as little as just a single bud, probably
right,
about
a T-graft or
quarter
something.
Inch square sheath of bud off of a tree.
And you know what? If you want to learn about that, there's a class in Poway at 9:30 today.
That's right.
On budding?
On grafting. Well,
I thought you said it was a grafting class.
It's a grafting class, and they're going to talk. He's going to present 6 or 7 different grafting techniques.
I watched him tea graft once.
Yeah.
And he was successful 100% of the time I've watched him do it.
Well, good.
It was good. He was one for one. So, everybody clear on budwood now?
We are.
Is there anything else we need to clarify?
Not that we've spoke of so far. What else do you have there?
Well, I have this should be at the end, but a fundraiser for the California Native Plant Society San Diego chapter is going to be having a tour of the Arnold Preserve. I think that's up in our area. They have miles of hiking trails and natives and beautiful things. It's going to be March 20th. We'll have more information coming up, but the Arnold Preserve, California Native Plant Society, San Diego chapter.
Okay.
And if I had brought my notes that are sitting on my desk, I could give you more information on that. But I
just like I could talk more about the UC Riverside thing.
Yeah,
we'll do that next week.
I had some
in more
citrus
detail.
Stuff. Citrus stuff on that as well. I don't know if I would be grafting citrus right now if I were a layperson, unless it was certified budwood from a known entity from UCR.
Right.
Because
HLB, for example.
Right. Yes, that's how it happens. And you were talking about the citrus yellow vein clearing disease. Is that what it's called?
Right.
There's something along those lines.
Yeah, there are two similar, right. And while we were at UCR, one of the professors had mentioned that this new disease was actually found in the same on the same property that HLB was found 12, 15, 20 years ago, whenever they found HLB.
Not the same tree.
But that was
why
cut out
were
gone.
There any other citrus trees on that property? Did they plant new ones?
Maybe since. He didn't go into any detail. He just said that. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
It's fascinating and interesting. Yes.
Because that was an illegally grafted tree. I mean, that was smuggled budwood.
Right.
I shouldn't say illegally grafted. It was smuggled budwood.
Right. And it brought us to having this disease.
That brought this disease to California.
Yeah.
I'm bitter. But anyway, we know that.
That's no different than most days. That. Right.
But that's interesting. There was diseases that are showing up here. That's one of them. And then there were a lot of, did you guys get into the fruit flies and all the
there
flies?
There was actually, the opening conversation was about fruit flies, and I have some notes for that too. There are a lot of fruit flies. There's a big quarantine for the Oriental fruit fly, OFF as they call it up there, in the Riverside area. And they have been very successful in getting those quarantines removed by spraying and capturing and such. And the way they determine that they are going to lift the quarantine is to go through three life cycles and not find any living flies or larvae in fruit. So they do three life cycles.
Interesting that all of a sudden.
Yeah, another all of a sudden.
Now, they were doing a lot of releasing of sterile fruit flies for
that was
that
one
too.
Of them, yes. Yeah.
Millions and millions.
Right.
Were they optimistic? That they,
I think they were. They said that with most of the fruit fly infestations that we have, there was one that they said, and again, it's in my notes, they said they weren't as successful, but generally speaking, they've been very successful in eradicating and or lifting quarantines, and then it happens again, and they go back into the quarantine, but they've been very effective at it.
Excellent.
Well, that is.
We have a phone call, and okay. I am sort of paying attention this time, so let's go to Robert and find out about picking produce in store. Not a problem. I'm okay with not a problem question, Robert. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm a first-time listener. I'm not a morning person. I usually get up at the crack of noon.
When the sun warms the earth a little bit.
Yeah. When I pick my vegetables, they seem to get wimpy quickly, not like the ones you pick in the store. What am I doing wrong?
Well, when you go to a produce place, they're kept cool, and they sprinkle them with moisture all the time. Is that what we're talking about? Do you have limpy produce?
Yeah, like when I pick my kale, it doesn't stay fresh like it does in the store.
Well, I'm going to defer to George on that, because I would guess he's a kale guy.
Yeah, but I mean, when we pick kale, we harvest it and use it almost immediately, so I don't let it sit around. But I would suggest that what you said was probably part of it, is harvesting it, keeping it damp or moist, not wet.
Moist.
Yeah, because wet's not good. But yeah, keeping it cool and not cold, but cool.
Get a sprinkler system for it inside your kitchen and put it on the counter with a little mister and a recycler.
All kidding aside, are you leaving it on the counter, or are you rinsing it off and putting it in the crisper in the refrigerator?
I rinse it off, put it in a bag, and put it in the crisper.
Do you poke holes in that bag so it can breathe?
No.
I might try that.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yep. My second question was, I'm inundated with problems with rats eating my vegetables.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
Snap traps, right, George?
Snap traps work really well, and I have found that sometimes it's not rats as much as little mice and or voles, so smaller traps and larger traps, I just leave them in the garden all the time and set them as needed. Typically, I will cut what they had been eating and put that on the trap, and been very successful with that.
Okay. Do I have time for one third question?
Very, very quickly.
Okay. I bought some seeds with the red coating on it.
Oh, like a clay coating?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And they don't seem to germinate very well for me. I don't know why.
We will have to research that, George.
Well,
Robert. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, just give me a call at the nursery today, and we'll talk further, if you can call me at the nursery.
Call us next week, because we do have to go.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Robert.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Okay, so can I touch on classes real quick?
Real quick.
At 9 o'clock in San Diego, Organic Gardening with James, and in Poway, Grafting Fruit Trees with Tyler Trimble at 9:30. And I want to wish our good friend Mary, happy birthday, Mary.
Happy birthday, Mary. Kevin had of a class you were going to mention.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and Kevin Grangetto mentioned that there is a class. A master gardener is going to be teaching tomatoes. So if you get the opportunity at 10 o'clock at the Grangettos in Escondido. So if you miss our classes, get up to Escondido and listen to Master Gardener speak tomatoes.
You've been listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. Auto Talk is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.